As we watch the news, we're concerned about the lack of peace throughout our nation and really throughout the world. We would like, of course, to see less conflicts. We'd like to see the crime rate go down. We're tired of hearing about so many murders and rapists. Just awful what is going on. So we have great concern. We would like to see peace in the world. Of course, we pray for the leaders of nations to seek peace, do we not? We should. But think about what about inside myself, my inner self. Do I have real peace? I should desire that. We all should. And this is what we want to study together this morning as we go to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. As Jesus came to the end of the sermon, he gave a parable of two builders. And this would apply to all who are accountable unto God. We all need to realize the importance of our eternal salvation, which must have our hearing and applying the teachings of Christ to our lives. Without it, we're going to be lost. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it," Luke 11:28. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves," James 1:22, and many other scriptures we could give. Notice what the officers who were sent by the chief priests and Pharisees, they were sent to get Jesus and to take him. And when they came back without him, notice what the chief priests and Pharisees asked. "Why have you not brought him?" Well, this was their reply. This is John 7:46. "Never man spake like this man." Do we have that same conclusion as these officers? We must. We should. We should, of course, understand Jesus has the words of life. He spoke the truth in the flesh, and we have it recorded in an accurate translation. We're going to be able to know what Jesus Christ taught, his doctrine. So the Sermon on the Mount of our Lord and Savior made it very clear that one must learn the will of God and obey his will, otherwise there will be no real peace within. There will be no true happiness with us as individuals. That's not possible without adhering to the doctrine of Christ. And of course, salvation will not be possible, most important, as we should understand that. So let's study together from Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 29 this morning together. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, we should know that means preparing for eternity. And are we doing that? If not, we better get started today. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together, we strive to worship God in spirit, but also in truth, that is, having a proper attitude and following the New Testament pattern. You, I can guarantee, would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we always look forward to having Bible studies, sitting together, opening up God's Word at your convenience. And we want to mention this, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, please send those to us. Again, our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And let me mention this, the times of our services are given at the end of the program. Let's get into our study this morning, as we're going to study about the parable that Jesus concluded with this parable in the masterpiece, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is coming from Matthew 7, 24 through the end of the chapter. So let's, before we get into the text, let's ask this very important question, because we need to be sure we're able to give an account here and answer correctly. What did the Master Teacher, our Lord and Savior, proclaim from the side of the mount? Now, that's an easy question. Every one of us should give the answer, Jesus taught the truth. He taught the Word of God. Well, now, having given that answer, that's fine, but are we understanding that unless we continue in the Word of God, we cannot know the truth? As we go to John 8, 31 and 32, notice, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's right. We have to continue in the Word, or we're not going to be free. And it's the truth that makes us free. Now, some today are promoting that truth is relative and subjective. In other words, you can't really put your finger on it. So what one thinks and what the other thinks, even though they're contradicting concepts, it doesn't matter. Well, that's hogwash, as we used to say in the South. Truth is absolute and objective because it's coming from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we're studying what he taught. And notice, again now, Matthew 7, 28, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So, as we come to the closing of the masterful Sermon on the Mount from our Lord and Savior, the Master Teacher, he is saying to us, if we do not do what he taught, we're going to be like the foolish builder, not the wise builder. The wise builder is the one that's likened unto those that do the will of God after hearing it. So that's the kind of builder we want to be, not like the foolish builder. No, sir. But notice, let's read this together. I will liken him unto a wise man, that's the one that hears the sayings and does them, better say, which built his house upon a rock, the rock of truth. The rain descended and the floods came. The winds blew and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, yes, they heard it, but they didn't do it, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Of course, that's not much of a foundation, is it? And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Of course, Jesus taught as one having authority, because he does have all authority. And we need to understand that for sure. So, we understand then that we must submit to the Master Teacher, Jesus Christ, because He does have all authority. And we need to ask ourselves the question, are we doing that? What's more important than adhering to the only begotten Son of God who died for my sins and for yours? Imagine someone saves your life and your reaction is not to pay any attention to them. I don't want to hear what you've got to say. Well, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died for our sins in order to save our souls. Our eternal destiny depends on our listening and doing what He says. Now, that's what we need to understand, the importance of this. Are we accepting or rejecting the invitation of Christ? As we know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Compared to the burden of sins, it is very light. But we have to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. Therefore, we need to know His doctrine. We need to know His teaching. We need to submit to His authority. We're either submitting or we're rejecting. Which is it? "For He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." Remember verse 29 again. We must submit to the authority of Christ by obeying the gospel of Christ and then continuing to live a faithful Christian life. From the time the law of Moses was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14, until the Lord comes again, everyone who is accountable will be judged by the law of Christ. Now that's the truth. That's gospel. John 12:48. Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." We're going to be judged by the words that He has taught. It would behoove us to know what that is and heed it, obey it. We're all under the authority of Christ, whether we believe it or not. The chief priests and elders asked Jesus, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee the authority to do these things?" Mark 11:28. Can you imagine saying this to God in the flesh? But that's what they did. They were proud religious leaders. They didn't like Jesus coming into their territory, even though He was the only begotten Son of God, the Messiah. So, Jesus, because they had already rejected His authority, they wouldn't do what Jesus had to say. Well, He wouldn't answer them unless they would answer His question, which was this: the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. This is Mark 11, verse 30. Mark 11, verse 30. Now, being dishonest, what did they say? These chief priests, religious leaders, "We cannot tell." Well, they didn't accept John's baptism. They're certainly not going to accept Jesus' teaching. John was preparing the way for Christ. The kingdom was at hand. He was baptizing for the remission of sins. Well, our Lord's question is eternally important, isn't it? The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Jesus made it clear that there are only two possible sources for the authority of every religious act performed in the world. Now that's true. It's either divinely authorized. This religious act that we're going to discuss is either divinely authorized or it's humanly authorized. It's from heaven or it's from men. That's it. So here's a question of authority to ask those in religious groups outside the body of Christ today. The baptism of the Great Commission, is it from God or is it from men? We should all know the answer. Of course it's from God. Jesus, being God in the flesh, gave the Great Commission. As he said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. What did he say? He came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He had all authority. And with that authority, he gave the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, that's the authority of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now that's the Great Commission. Now is that from God or is it from men? We need to know. Obviously it's from God. Jesus in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you see in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. So then why do so many religious people refuse to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, for the remission of their sins? For no doubt they have been deceived. Even though God's Word has many warnings of being deceived, Romans 16:18, for example, good words and fair speeches. Notice 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. We better submit to the Word of God. Listen to those warnings. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, 7. So many warnings. So those who say that they trust God but do not obey his word have been deceived, and they're still remaining in their sins. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Yes, Matthew 7:21 in the Sermon on the Mount. So calling on the name of the Lord means submitting to his authority. As Acts 4:12, for example, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. There's no other authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Of course, there's no other authority or power. Now in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So be assured that we can learn and understand the doctrine of Christ, because God is just. He's no respecter of persons, and he desires that all men would be saved. Deuteronomy 32:4, Acts 10:34-36, 1 Timothy 2:4. So let's go now to the parable and ask ourselves, what kind of life builder am I? Am I wise or foolish? Now, think about it in this way. As a builder is going to build a house, let's say, before he lays the foundation and begins to build that house, he's got to figure the cost, the labor, and the materials. What if I run out of money before the house is finished? I'm going to lose it all. Well, the same is true with the spiritual builder. We should count the cost of being a Christian. That's right. As Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time, he taught a great multitude, which included those who loved him, those who were his enemies, and those who were expecting to receive blessings in an earthly kingdom without any change of their life. They were wrong about the nature of the coming kingdom of God. They were thinking that it would be a physical rather than a spiritual kingdom, just as the premillennialists still hold to that false doctrine today. They're thinking physical, not spiritual. Jesus said that his kingdom was not of this world before Pilate, John 18, 36 and 37. The church of Christ is the spiritual kingdom built by Christ, Matthew 16, 18, Colossians 1, 13 through 18. So the multitudes were also wrong about what it would cost to be a true follower of Christ. And how did Jesus address their misunderstanding? As we're talking about counting the cost of being a Christian, let's just go now to Luke chapter 14 and notice with me verse 25 beginning. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoso doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and counteth and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassadage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, here it is, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, where do we stand with what Jesus said? Jesus made it very clear that God must come first by loving our families less. We're not going to hate our families. This, of course, meant to love less. Yes, that is exactly what Jesus was teaching. But we certainly come to attention when we read this and see the word hate, do we not? Now, notice what answer Jesus gave to a lawyer who asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, Matthew 22:37. So, as we count the cost of being a Christian, let us also realize what it will cost if we do not become a Christian. If we do not remain faithful unto death, if we become a Christian, or until the Lord returns, what's that going to mean? Well, yes, we as Christians must bear a burden, but it's easy and light compared to the burden of sins, as we said earlier in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. So, are we willing to count the costs, remain faithful after obeying the gospel, and being assured of eternal salvation, and while we're on this earth, having real peace and true happiness? Have we counted the cost of being a Christian? Do we have our priorities in order? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, that's also in the Sermon on the Mount. Are we putting God first? Are we even listening to what Jesus has to say and studying his teaching, following his doctrine? So in our text, we see that there are two kinds of builders, a wise one and a foolish one. And these represent two classes of people. Those who are wise will build their lives according to God's plan, and those who are foolish will build contrary to God's plan. We also learn in this parable there are two kinds of foundations, rock and sand. The rock foundation represents whosoever builds his life upon Christ, the solid rock. Of course, by obeying the gospel, that's, again, his teaching, that's going to stand. But the sand foundation represents whosoever builds his life upon the lies and deception of Satan. Now, which one are we building upon? Therefore, hearing and obeying God's word is building upon the rock. Hearing and not obeying God's word is building upon the sand. And after we learn from our Lord's parable of these two builders, we know that the floods came. We learn this as well as we study this parable. There are two results concerning the two houses, which were built on different foundations. One stood, the other fell. If we build our lives on Christ, we too will stand. However, if we do not build our lives on Christ, then we too will fall. As a life builder, my house cannot stand if I do not obey the gospel of Christ. That's one. Number two, as a life builder, my house cannot stand if I, as a member of the Lord's church, practice sin, the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19-21. And number three, as a life builder, my house cannot stand if as a member of the Lord's church, I become unfaithful in my attendance, Hebrews 10:25-26, Revelation 2:10. Number four, if as a life builder, my house cannot stand if I'm in the church which Jesus did not build. If I'm in one of those man-made churches, then what's going to happen? Matthew 15:13, it shall be rooted up if I'm in the wrong church. So let's answer honestly, what kind of builder am I? Am I wise or am I foolish? Now, we need to appreciate that Jesus Christ is that solid rock, and his teaching is the doctrine which will lead us to heaven, but we must not only hear, but obey. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, we stand ready to assist you. Of course, we must hear the truth, Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. We must then repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. Then we must make the good confession unto salvation. That, of course, is stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now we're ready to be baptized into Christ. That's right, putting on Christ, Galatians 3:27. And as we come up out of that watery grave, we're walking in newness of life. And the Lord himself will add us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful as a wise builder. And we thank you so much for listening today.